You know, I feel I need to share something with y'all. I've been thinking about whether I do it or not. We were in correspondence with Rebecca this week, and she sprang a word on me last night. Said that an almost ruptured appendix and a trip to the hospital to have it removed was a little detour in her week. And y'all remember that Patti Page song, Detour? There's a muddy road ahead, Detour. You remember? I've had it on my mind all day.
That was before my time.
Well, we won't go into what time that was, but I remember it very well. But Willie did it too. But the thing I wanted to tell you, and I don't mention a lot of personal things up here from the pulpit, but this lady's on her way to Jesus, folks, like so many of you are. And she handled this like a little detour. Just a little detour. That to me is cool. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have our problems. In this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. And we have. So to handle it like that, to me, is a real blessing. And she's honest about it. She's not playing. That was just a detour this week in her journey to Jesus. That's something. If you will, please turn to John chapter 8. And before we go there, we'll pray. Father, thank you for being our God, for making a way for us to come to you by the working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for all the perks that we have as Christians in attempting to live for you. Lord, give us grace and strength and boldness in this world that belongs to Satan that we have to live in. And live in it in such a way to where that we love you, we love each other, and we do what you tell us. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that we might one day receive that well done, thy good and faithful servant, when we stand before you. So open our hearts today. Teach us that we might become better Christians, better children for you, a better bride for Jesus Christ, a spotless bride. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this today, Free. It's kind of been what we've been about all week. We're finishing up a week of celebrating our freedom on July the 4th. And I'm speaking this morning mainly to Christians. Of course, everybody, I think, can probably get something out of it, but I'm talking to the people who belong to Christ, who, like Rebecca, are trying to make it home and all the things that come in our ways down here. We see that about 400 years ago, people started coming to this country to settle it. Most of them early on came from England. They were escaping their religious persecution. and they settled this country for religious freedom. Now, because of that, God's folks and Satan's folks are celebrating this week the freedom we have here in this country, because all of us have it. Many of those folks had to come up with a lot of money to pay their voyage over here. It was 2 months long that they had to live in the hold of a boat, a ship. Some of the younger ones died there, and a lot of them died after they got here. Freedom to worship was what they were after. The king had made a state religion, a government religion in England, and some of them didn't agree with that. But I say this, look at the trouble that those people went to go across a whole ocean that nobody was sure what was going to be over here. Expensive, a lot of trouble, and a dangerous journey. But it was important enough for them to get to a place to where they could worship like they wanted to. We enjoy our personal freedom in this country today because they fought to establish it, and many more have fought and died since to maintain that freedom that we enjoy. We celebrate that freedom this week on Independence Day. So there's a question I want to ask you today for those of you who are born again, who are people of the way, as they used to call them, who are Christians. What are you doing with your freedom? What are you doing with it? Because you see, to Christians, this freedom to worship like we want to means altogether something else than all these other people out there. I don't think they get the real meaning of it. Not just personal freedom, but as the early settlers, this means Christian freedom. In John, where I hope you are, in chapter 8, in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now let me say this. In Hebrew language, in the language of the Jews, saying that you were free indeed is the ultimate message. That means you're free. Now, I wonder how many of us have the mental attitude of being free. Because you see, that's what it is. This whole thing about being a Christian starts in the mind. And we do things because our mind tells us to do those things. It says over in the third chapter of Colossians, I think, now that you're free, Paul says, why do you act like people who are not free by making all these rules and all you live by? Because what Jesus did, it made people free from the bondage of sin. We now have a choice. We didn't have a choice before. We had to follow Satan. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, that before we were born again, before God came in, but God, He came in and saved us before that, we had to live according to what we thought. And we weren't doing a very good job of it either. But this thing I want to remind you of today, because freedom is such a special word to Christians. This thing that we have with God, this relationship that we have with God, is all about Jesus. It always has been, and it always will be. Then, in the early days of this country, God's laws became our laws. The early founders of this country, when they formed a government, they used God's laws to guide them in making laws for the government. But today, in America, God's law is not followed. You've noticed this, I'm sure, if you know anything at all about a Bible. Our Christian lives are being legislated away from us by Satan and his forces. And they're every time you turn the TV on, they're in your living room and telling you all kind of crazy stuff. Things that the Bible says to do and has always said to do, legally we can't do them. And things that God says are bad, legally, we're told to tolerate them. So we're living in a world that temporarily has been given to Satan. And he's on our every side, trying to destroy God's work. You know what God's work is, right? That's you and me. He can't destroy God's work without destroying us and what we're trying to do for God. But still, with all that, we're called by God to be obedient to Him. And we've got this detour. I like that word. These detours every day, every week, every month, coming in to try to keep us from being everything God wants us to be. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. That's the only way we can do it. You know, you think about Stephen being stoned there in Acts. Stephen knew when he preached to those folks, they were going to try to kill him. He knew there was a really, really good possibility they were going to do that. And he did it anyhow. And I mean, he preached to them too. He scalded the hide off of them. And told them, said, it's you guys that are giving us the trouble. And they killed him. And the thing I want to make people understand is he knew there was a good chance that was going to happen. So then I go back to the question, what are we doing with our freedom? What are you willing to stand for God in this world in a day when the world is going the other way? And I know it happened to me, I know that I think that you have to get in a quiet place. What God says, be still and know that I'm God. Get in a place like that and say, Lord, I'm going to commit myself to doing this and this and this that you want me to do. Because when you get up to your neck in alligators, it's hard to remember sometime you came to drain the swamp, you know. So you get to a place to where you make an agreement out ahead. When it comes to that, I'm going to do this. Because we know the things, just like Stephen did. We know the things that might come in our way. We know the things. We see it happening to other people. And some of it is happening a mile away to us. And some of it's going to happen again. And it's going further and further the other way. Our Bible is a big book. But it doesn't say a lot of things. And people look at me like, do what now? It doesn't say a lot of things. It says the same few things over and over and over so all of us will be able to get it, because everybody doesn't understand it the same way. So he just keeps repeating. All those stories that tell the same thing, that God can handle it. If you will stay with God, God can handle it. God says, like I said a minute ago, love me, love each other, and do what I tell you. That's essentially what he says in the whole book. Wherever you find, it'll fit under one of those things. And that's just basic. That's easy to understand. It's not a difficult thing to do. People try to make such a difficult thing out of the book. It's not a difficult thing. When you get to a place to where you understand it, what you didn't understand, you're not going to be held responsible for. So you study and you read, and what you understand, you commit yourself to follow it. Today, man, in a more or less natural state, has come up with all kinds of Jesus people. You know, you see Jesus people like on the TV every day, and then you hear them talk, and you know, I don't know whether they're Jesus folks or not. You know, they think they are, and they tell you things about Scripture. I have heard more errors in Scripture being quoted in the last year than I've ever heard in my life. Maybe it's just getting to where I understand what the Bible really says. They're called all sorts of believers as they make choices. People make choices. And God has outlined that in the book. I lay before you a blessing and a curse. It's your choice. And we make choices. And sometimes we don't make choices very well. And a lot of times it's tinged a little bit with what we really want to do ourselves. But basically, folks, there's still only one kind of Christian, true Christian. As Jesus said, you must be born again. People who have accepted Jesus Christ, that's the Christians. It says in Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, David said, and calls to approach unto thee, that he might dwell in thy courts. What David said there is God still does the choosing and causes us to come to him. He's behind every bit of it, so that one day we can live with him forever, by and through Jesus Christ. But you see, that puts another responsibility on us. God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But do you know what he's dependent with about that? About his ambition to build his church here on this earth? You and me. Because he says in Romans, how can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear without somebody telling them? And for all of this God has done for us, this whole thick book that he's done trying to lead us to the place that he wants us to be, for all of this, basically he asked us to do one thing, and that's to identify ourselves. Do what now? He asked us to identify ourselves. He asked us to let other people know who we are. If you think for a moment, nobody's going to ask you a Bible question unless they know you know something about the Bible. Unless they assume that you're a Christian, and so then maybe you do know something about the Bible. They're not going to talk religious questions to you or religious discussion to you unless they know that you're a Christian. So what then initiates the whole thing about God's evangelical plan for this lost earth is you and me telling somebody we're a Christian. Simplest thing in the whole world. Simplest thing in the whole world. Well, you see, I belong to Jesus. Do what? I belong to Jesus. I'm Jesus's man. I represent God here on this earth. That's what I do. Oh, I do other things. I've got a career. I've got jobs. I've got hobbies or whatever you say. But still, bottom line, I belong to Jesus. The most valuable asset we have as a Christian is our sincerity and our realness. Because I'm going to tell you this, you know it, you've seen it. You've seen preachers involved in it. When a man is telling you something and you look at him and you know it's not the truth. You know he's putting on. You know he's trying to sell you a bill of goods. My scripture says that God is looking for somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I didn't get all of that. The spirit, I got. That's born again. You got to be born again to worship God. But this thing of truth, I thought I knew what truth was until I saw it defined as reality. And all of a sudden it hit me. Not only do we identify ourselves as who we are, we got to be real. When somebody walks off from that conversation and somebody says, well, do you think he's being straight? Yeah, I think he's real. Did you look in his face? Did you look in his eyes? Did you hear his voice say that? I think he's real. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for realness in you and me. Not just something that happens down at the church. Because you see, bottom line, it's not about the church. It's about Jesus. We have all kind of discussions about churches and this kind and that kind. And we've divided everything up. There's four different corners in a town and four different churches on every corner. Because of us. But bottom line is Jesus. That's what it's all about. The Holy Spirit causes people to respond to you if they know who you are. As simple as that is. I've heard of people going to witnessing classes. I've never been to one of those. I don't know about you. Maybe it helped you. But I'm going to tell you this. If you are a born-again believer today, you know how to tell somebody else how to be one. If you can't, then you're not one. And that's all Jesus requires. That's all God asks us to do, is just tell somebody with sincerity who we are. And then that opens the door for the Holy Spirit working with them to do whatever else comes next, whatever it is. And it'll always be a different bunch of things. People just don't all come the same way. You can't teach, really. Anthony and I have discussed this. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches. I can stand up here and talk to you all day until the Holy Spirit says you need to believe him. What he's saying is true. That's what teaches, not me. If that goes far enough, you can baptize. Do what? No, you don't have to bring people to a preacher to be baptized. Anybody can baptize. Right, Jeremy? Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. This is some people call the Great Commission. That's all right. But Jesus, just before he left, told everybody this. But it became a great deal more interesting to me when I defined some of the Hebrew terms to understand exactly what it's saying. You see, when I was a kid in church, I was scared to death to offer my whole life to God, even though I was born again at 10. Because I was afraid I'd wind up in South Africa over there somewhere, and I really didn't want to go to Africa or South America either. That's not what it's about. He says in the 28th chapter of Matthew in verse 19, "Go ye therefore." Now, that's what had me bugged until I defined that phrase. It's not go, it's as you go. So wherever you're going already, be ready to tell somebody. That's what it says. When you go to the store, when you go to work, when you go to the movie, when you go to the beach, when you go wherever you go, be ready to tell somebody who you are. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations wherever you go, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Now that even makes it simpler. If God wants you to go somewhere in the book of Acts, He'll tell you to move. And He'll tell you where to go. And He'll tell you when to stop, just like He did Philip. But that's not for the basic, that's not for everybody. Everybody's not going to be a missionary. But everybody, as they go, can tell whoever they run into about Jesus. And the question I've had to ask myself is this: if God, in His wisdom, happens to have a guy He's working with or a lady He's working with, is all He's got to do to get them to know how to be born again is to put them in my path? If they bump into me at the grocery store, am I equipped to tell them how to be saved? Because see, I can't save anybody. The Holy Spirit saves them. All I can do is tell them how. And then, if they come back to me, share with them everything Jesus has said. Now, you can't do all that in one day. It takes time. Not even out of your way. Just watch and pray, He told the disciples. Watch and see what I'm doing in your midst, and pray to find out if you're supposed to be part of that. So if you're in a place and some guy walks up to you and just starts talking, you think, man, this is a nice guy. He just walked up and started talking to me out of, you know, is that something, Lord, you want me to deal with? Or is it just a circumstantial meeting, which I don't believe in circumstances anyhow. But that's the way God does things. He brings two people together when one of them is His and one of them's not. That's the way He does it. Now, here's the thing, and there's been so many mistakes made this way. We get a little bit arrogant when we realize that we're God's children. We go to church, and when we find out we're talking with someone who doesn't have any use whatsoever for the church, sometimes we get a little bit arrogant, and sometimes we get a little bit pushy, and sometimes we go to pushing and pushing and run them off. Then the next time if somebody comes along and has something to say to them about Jesus, they won't listen. Don't be that away. Don't be that away. You have got something today, Christian, that they don't have. And you didn't ask for it. God brought it to you. You don't have anything, the Bible said, but what you received. So God had to give you everything you got. And He's going to have to give it to them too. Now you can make them aware of it. I knew a fellow one time that if he picked up a hitchhiker on the road, he made the guy pray the prayer of salvation before he'd put him out. That's not the way it works. That's not the way God works. What does He say? I would have liked to have done a lot in my hometown, but a prophet hath honor save in his own country. People around town knew who I was. They knew I was the carpenter's boy. They knew I was Mary's boy. They knew I had four or five brothers and three or four sisters. And they didn't think I was anything. So I couldn't do much because they just didn't believe it. It could be me. Do it humbly and do it seriously. Let them catch on to when you're talking about Jesus, you're not playing. If God's after them, they'll respond. They'll come back to somebody. How many people have I had to stop me and say, look, there's a Bible question I need to ask you about. I've been disturbed about it and confused about it all along. Would you explain this to me? I'll try. And that starts up something that you never know where it's going to end. But it will probably end in that person living forever with Jesus. And you know what? You're not responsible for their soul. You can't leave somebody in a conversation that you had with somebody and feel guilty that you didn't do it right. Because you're not responsible. God's responsible. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to deal with that. And if it wasn't done today, maybe it'll be later. That's always got to come into it. So many folks have a desire to want to notch their pistols. They want to run up a score. They want to count more people that they've saved. God's the one that's the notches, not us, not me and you. All we're called to do is, as we go, be ready to tell somebody who we are. That's all. Just leave all the rest to God if we do what He called us to do. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul told them, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Holy Spirit, folks, is where all the power is. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. Every one of you born-again believers has it. And it's there. And it's there from now on. It'll always be there. And it is the most powerful thing on this planet, is God's Holy Spirit. It's a part of God Himself. I don't know if I'd have been God that I'd have been smart enough to leave my whole plan up to folks like me. But that's what He's done. And like I said, it's not complicated. You don't have to learn to do it. All you got to do is just mention to somebody, I belong to Jesus. And that'll get it done. If not today, maybe another day. If not another day, maybe on down the road. We don't know. As He said in Corinthians, one waters, one sows, one harvest. We don't always get to do it on one trip. So today, what are you doing with your freedom? God only asks one thing. As you go, tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them who you are. And they'll know that you're somebody that if they've got a question in their mind, they can come to and ask. I'll tell you something else. Nobody understands just how much influence we have on the people around us. We don't know. On kids and on grown-ups and on other people. And somebody, God may put through His Holy Spirit a thought in their head. Well, if he belongs to Jesus, maybe it's something I ought to do. And that's the way He does it. It's not complicated. It's not hard. You don't have to practice. All you got to do is pray. Just stay prayed up. When you get up in the morning, ask the Lord, if there's somebody you need saved, would you have them come across my path today, please? I'd like a chance to tell somebody about you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, let us understand the simplicity of the way you operate, that it's not complex at all. Nobody needs to make it that way because it's not. It's simple. And Lord, I'm learning that as we get closer and closer to you, we get more simple and more simple and more simple. We learn that it's not all about the complexities of this world, but it's just simply being obedient to you and telling other people who we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.